Players ready? Play. 15 seed here in Geneva, Switzerland. A late entry. I didn't do a preview as I normally do for logistical reasons. So I've already played and fortunately have won my first match. This is a ATP 250 event. Up until now I've been playing 1,000 events, which are very strong tournaments, but have to say here, with Novak Djokovic, it does add a fair degree of quality to it. But I'm here because I needed matches before Roland Garros, the next mate in the Grand Slam event. Have to say I love being in this part of the world. Geneva is a beautiful and sophisticated city. Okay, that some would argue that there's many other beautiful cities in Switzerland, which is quite true. But when you're here in Geneva and you're looking out over the mountains, including Mont Blanc, it's pretty special. You see the buildings that house the major diplomatic organisations from around the world, such as it's the European capital of the United Nations. So it just has that special quality about it. And I think particularly when it's both French and English speaking city, it's great to be here. Tennis wise, it's normally around that sort of 20 degrees Celsius mark or 70 degree Fahrenheit. It's, you know, likely to have a wet day. It's a fascinating place to come. I mean, 80% of the meals here have a cheese base, particularly their fondues. But the Bircher Muesli here is to die for. I have to say, you have the best breakfasts here and can choose from a myriad of different locations. So it's a wonderful place to be in Geneva, and I'm looking forward to the tournament. Before I get to the tennis proper, I'll deal with a listener's question from Frank. And Frank asks, what do you think is the biggest issue in tennis? Is it prize money? Is it inequality? Is it betting and integrity, player conduct, tennis calendar? What do you think are the biggest problems that tennis faces? So, again, this is a little bit off the top of my head, but the thing I immediately thought of was probably a little different to what everybody else is expecting. I think one of the biggest problems I see are the juniors, most often caused by parents and tolerated by tournament officials. I just see so many juniors, and they might be aged 7 years of age, and they're treated like touring professionals. You know, by 10 years of age, they've got a coach and an entourage, you know, and a parent who's dominating and playing the role of manager. And they travel all over the country into other countries at a time when they should be just playing as much sport, doing as much alternate activities as they can and enjoy being young instead of being treated like little adults, little professional tennis players. Because I go and see some of these tournaments and cheating is endemic, and the shocking behavior that you sometimes see, which is just accepted, and where the child is treated like a celebrity when winning and chastised when they're not. And you know that it's a parent just living out their failed ambitions through the, you know, auspices of the child. So it's all with the aim of producing, you know, the next champion tennis player. And the reality is, of each 100 of these juniors, 98 are likely to fail, and perhaps 1 out of 100 will go on to make a living and be a good player. So what happens to the others? Don't know. I gather a number of them simply lose interest and leave the sport. But so for me, I can't say it's easy to deal with, but I think parents, coaches, and especially officials and federations have a role to play, and not to tolerate the poor conduct and cheating and the like. And don't let parents dictate terms. And if that means a federation misses out on the potential star player well, so be it, because ultimately that player and that parent needed the Federation more than the juniors needed them. So that's off the top of my head for you, Frank. Be interested to see the feedback that I get in relation to those views. As to the tennis here in Geneva, had a good draw when I was pitted to play Sumit Nagel of India. He's been on tour for a number of years, playing both challengers and ATP 250s and making Grand Slam draws. He's probably ranked somewhere around 90. Pocket rocket, bundle of energy. Consistent, not a big serve, but reliable serve. His big weapon is his forehand. Loves to run around his backhand, get on the forehand side and give it a whack. And, you know, very often it's that off forehand that he really enjoys hitting. So great player to watch. Actually, a great fun and a great player to play, because he gets on with it. You're not going to have any issues with him. He's a very popular sort of a guy. And this actually was a tough match. He broke my serve very early in the first set, and I can't say I was having good thoughts at that time, but I was able to, at 2-4 down, break back and hold serve for 4-all. And, you know, I just thought if I can just trade serves for a little while and get to a tiebreaker, I would be reasonably confident. Even though I lost my last tiebreak in Madrid, my record this year has been pretty good. But we did get to that tiebreaker, and it was tough. It was really tough. Both of us was going, at full pace, really trying to dictate play and move the other one around and create the angles and all that sort of stuff. And because it got to 7-all, it means we both had to defend set points. And at 7-all, I was able to get a mini break and to then win my serve as well and to take the tiebreaker 9-7. So I was really proud of how I played in the tiebreaker. Without being silly, I was hitting firmly, I was seeking to control points, I was keeping him moving from side to side. So again, it's enhanced my tiebreaker record again this year, and I was able to take that first set. So I'm playing Sumit Nagel from India in the first match for me at the Geneva 250 event, and with the first set under my belt, I think you gained confidence, and I broke his serve quite early in the second set and went up 3-1. Then I just thought I really want to concentrate on my serves. I want to put pressure on his, of course, because it's a relatively slow clay court, and you know there weren't a lot of winners from the serve, but it's still clearly an advantage. And I was able to do that for the remainder of the set. So I was able to take it out in straight sets, and this was a match I very much needed. Lots of balls coming back into play. Lots of big forehands that had to chase down and defend. No gifted serves off his racket, and my serves were all returned, so I was in long rallies. It's justified, I think, my decision to come to Geneva. This is a match which is good for me. So next up will be Roberto Carbelas Baena from Spain, and it's going to be a challenge. He beat Daniel Altmaier in the first round, so he's in good form and playing on a surface that absolutely suits himself, and he's a seasoned player. So until we get to that match, thanks for being on the journey and listening to the podcast. Thank you, ball people. Thank you, Hawkeye.